Open our Bibles to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. I've taken a lot of kidding today over the title of my sermon in the bulletin, but hopefully, as we go through, you will understand I'm not coming out of the closet. I'm not having a surgery to change anything, but hopefully you'll get a better glimpse of what I'm talking about. Genesis chapter 1, verse 23. Genesis 1:23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Verse 24 begins day 6. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. God saw that it was good. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them. I want that to sink in just a second. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, or him, male and female created he them. In verse 27, we find out that God created man, and then it says, in the image of God created he him, male and female. My complete title was, I am a woman by God's design. Depending on where you are, Christians today are often considered to be women haters. We are often accused of wanting to make slaves out of women. We're often accused of wanting to throw women back 1,000 years and deprive them of everything from the right to vote to becoming nothing more than physical slaves who are there for no other reason than our satisfaction. Because we do believe that the Bible does have separate roles for the women and men, we're accused of all kinds of false accusations. But simply believing that God made men and women vastly different and gave them different roles to play in the home, in society, and in the church in no way makes us women haters. Because of the, and I picked this phrase up off of the talk show host that I listen to sometime, because of the feminazis, any of you know who I listen to from that word alone? Because of the feminazis in our day, any woman who doesn't fit the mold that they made for women is considered a traitor to women, and they will attack you as much as anything. But where does the Bible stand on the role of women, especially in light of the New Testament scriptures? What is the relationship of a man and a woman? Unfortunately, and as far as I know, we don't have any of these. If we did, I probably would come to the wife's defense and helping him to disappear into 1,000 little pieces and be flushed all over the state. Unfortunately, some men have given fuel to the fire that we believe in abusing women. We don't. Much of this stems from the scripture, and we'll get to it in a few minutes, where it says that wives are to be in subjection to their husbands. But does the word subjection mean that she is less intelligent? Does the role of subjection mean that she is less important? Does the word submission mean that she must submit to every wild fantasy that he can imagine? I think not, certainly. And I will try to prove that before we're done. I began studying, putting this together last week. Once again, I had far more material than I could ever cover in one message. So I'm going to go through and I'm going to encourage you to dig deeper. I think what's at stake, not only is our homes, divorce is now up around 50%. Not only in our churches are falling apart in many areas, but I believe that what we see nationally, in large part, is due to a failure to understand that women are women by God's design. Let's start with some basic differences. Let's go on over to Ephesians chapter 5. I said I'd get there. Let's go and get this one behind us because I know everybody's thinking about this one. Galatians chapter 5. And there everybody knows Galatians chapter 5. Beginning with verse 21. And I always like to start with verse 21 rather than 22. Because verse 21 starts out, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, in verses 21 down through verse 29, Paul gives a very clear distinction in the roles that men and women play. But he starts with mutual submission. You know, my wife will submit much better to me when I have mutually submitted to her. And I'll really get into that later. Notice he says, after you have submitted yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Okay, the role of the wife is to submit herself unto her own husband as unto the Lord. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I think most of you have heard me say this. You're not required to do anything that would cause you to violate your relationship in the Word of God and God's Word itself. You submit yourself as unto the Lord. If He demands something that is absolutely contrary to the Word of God and the will of God, this just flew out the window. This is in the Lord. And he's talking to a saved husband and a saved wife who are both active in the church at Corinth. And he says, okay, you submit to each other. And then wives, your role is the husband is to be the head. I'll have a lot more about that. Notice we go on. The husband is the head of the church or the head of the wife, even as. If you take out that even as, you just destroy that verse. He's the head of the wife, even as, just exactly like the Lord is the head of the church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Men like to quit there. Paul didn't. Husbands, here's your role. Love your wives. How much do I have to love her? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence or respects her husband. Very, very distinct roles. The wife, understand, in any organization, in any company, in any group, somebody's got to be the head of that group. Men get that responsibility. They're the head of the home. But they're commanded to recognize you as a woman of God's design. They love you as such. They respect you as such. They treat you as such. Just as Christ did his church. What's another difference? Well, women are the only gender that is capable of bearing children. No matter how many sex changes people have, they cannot invent female parts for carrying a baby. They cannot do it. So you ladies are designed by God. You're a woman by God's design. And you're the only thing that God made human that can bear children. I don't find it funny. I actually find it rather disgusting, nauseating, and a few other adjectives. But even homosexuals who say they're the same as any other married couple have to get an outsider of the other gender in order to have a baby. Now, that in itself ought to tell you something's wrong with that whole episode. Women are different. Their role is different. I personally, I'm glad men cannot bear children. I watched my wife deliver three. And I tell you what, I would have never delivered one, period. God designed women to be able to bear children. Another basic difference is their bodies are different. Now, I wrestled with this. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or a medical doctor to know that women's bodies are different than men's bodies. They're designed totally different. But notice I said different, not inferior. God built, designed women for their beauty to appeal to the eyes of their husband. God designed their bodies to bear and nurse children. I don't want to get into too much detail, but being different isn't wrong. Being different isn't, doesn't mean one's better than the other. But God made women's bodies different than men's bodies, and only a IDIOT would not understand that. Their bodies are different in their hormonal levels. And I'm going to limit myself very much here. Sometimes we men, and I've been married 42 years, I still don't understand it. I just accept it. That's the way it is. Women's hormones are not like men's hormones. I'll give you some examples later. Their brains are actually scientifically wired differently from men. How many of y'all knew that? They're not even wired right. Does that mean our brains are wired right and y'all were wrong? No. It just means that women are by God's design different. Years ago, and I had to go online to find this, but I found it. Years ago, there was a book written by a man named John Gray. And the book is entitled, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. How many of you have read that book? Funny enough, it's been more men read it than women. Wow, okay. That's unusual. In the book, he describes very vividly how men and women use the same words, but they speak different languages. Give you an example. Honey, how would you like to go out for dinner tonight? Nah, that's all right. Okay, you sit down, get some cereal out of the cupboard, and start eating. Next thing you know, she's madder than I'll get out at you. Why are you mad at me? Because I wanted to go out. I asked you and you said no. But no doesn't mean no. Some of you are laughing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. We use the same words, but we have totally different meanings. Honey, how much longer are you going to be? Give me 30 seconds. 5 minutes later, honey, your 30 seconds are up. 30 seconds to me means 1, 2, 3, 4. To a woman, 30 seconds can be anywhere from 30 seconds to 30 minutes. If you don't know the language, you're going to get very, very confused. Does that mean that women are wrong? No, it means God made them to speak a different language. You ever seen a group of women sitting around? And I know I'm digging my own grave tonight. You ever seen a group of women? They'll be crying and all kinds of things. And a group of men are over there. Go get him! Go get him! Knock him down! Take him down! Hit, you know. Not women. You get men together. And boy, at football season, Chad, you're right there in the midst of them. It's, yeah, get them! And it's women sitting around. Well, how do you feel about this? Their brains are wired differently. Women tend to be more emotional than men. Man comes home, his wife is crying. Honey, what's wrong? Nothing. And then why are you crying? You just don't understand. You're right. I don't understand. But you see, you're a woman by God's design. Women are built by God to be more emotional. Women typically are much more about feelings and emotions than cold, hard facts. What color do you want to paint the living room? You know, blue or green? To me, it's simple. Blue or green? Well, now, do we want sky blue, medium blue? Do we want deep sea blue? Do we just blue or green? Nope. Women typically, and there's always exceptions, but they don't think like we think. And many marriages today are in serious trouble because men don't understand that women were designed by God to be different. And I'm telling you, I've been doing this for many, many years, and I can tell you that most men that I have talked to don't have a clue what makes their wife tick. They don't have a clue. Well, let's look at God's design quickly. Back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 gives us the broad-based description of the creation of Adam and Eve. We find out in Genesis 1 that on day 6, God made both the man and the woman in His image. And sorry, we don't have an advantage. Women, Eve was made in the image of God as much as Adam was. She was created just as much as Adam was. Now, I know God, and when we get to chapter 2, we get the detailed account. I know that God took a rib from Adam and built Eve from a rib. I get it. But understand, when He took the rib, God took that rib and built around it and designed around it. He put all of the hormones, all of the, you know, all of the parts there. And He made her just as much as He made Adam. Now granted, Adam was asleep. But God took that rib from Adam and then designed Eve around that rib. God saw in chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." I meant to ask Brother Burnett last night, and I didn't get a chance over at the fellowship. Adam was created perfect, right? We all agree Adam was created perfect. But even perfect, God said, even perfect, in a perfect environment, with the perfect world, perfect animals, perfect trees, perfect everything, in a perfect situation, it's not good that man should be alone. I'm going to make him an helpmeet. The word helpmeet has a number of different ideas. I'll give you one of them later. I saved one specifically for later. You'll really appreciate that one. But basically, it sums up as one who can relate to someone else on a social level. Man was made for fellowship. He was created to be a social being. And when God brought all of the animals around and Adam named all of the animals, there was nobody that Adam could enjoy a social relationship with. Helpmeet indicates one that could be his equal in affections and emotions. Carries the idea of one who comes and walks alongside of as a companion. And it was only after sin and the curse that any restrictions or major differences were placed on their roles. She was designed by God, even in a perfect situation, to be different. Her mind was designed by God. But regardless of the different roles, and I'm going to get blasted here, not by the women, but by the men. Regardless of their different roles, in the sight of God, they are all equal. me prove it to you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. I've covered that many, many times. Knowledge is something you study. If you want to know your wife, you better get some study time. Giving honor unto the wife. Now, this is New Testament. I know in the Old Testament, God permitted some things, but in the New Testament, Peter spells it out that we, as the husbands, are to give honor unto the wife. Remember I said this morning, I believe that wives should be almost on a pedestal. We're to give honor unto her, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being, notice this, heirs together of the grace of life. Now, men, in case you don't do that, in case you don't get it, he puts in another phrase and says that your prayers be not hindered. I read one of my commentaries. Now, this was written back in the 15 and 1600s, okay? Take in mind, consider, this was written back in the 15 and 1600s. But one of my commentaries said, as unto the weaker vessel, clearly refers to her physical being, but also to her mental state, as being unable to function like a man. I knew you ladies would appreciate that, don't you? In other words, what he said is, you women are just plain D-U-M-B-E-R than we men are. Maybe back in the 15, 1600s, he could get away with that. But weaker here has nothing to do with mentality. And in some cases, it doesn't even have to do with physically. She's not necessarily inferior. She's different. Her body was not built the same as a man who goes out and picks up a tree and hauls it down to the mill. Her body is not built to take the stress and the strain that we men often take. But don't ever think for one second that that difference is inferior. Because he goes on and says that she is an heir together of the grace of God. And if you don't obey this, you're going to have a very hard time getting your prayers through. Have you ever tried to pray after you just had a fight with your wife? Boy, you're the most non-committal people I've seen. You're not going to admit that, are you? Okay. You ever just had a shouting match and then get down and try to pray? Your prayers are hindered. Now, no matter how you cut it, the Bible does emphatically give men and women different functions. God never designed women to be a mere object of lust and pornography. You know, if you think about it, the feminazis today actually are guilty of exploiting women by using them as nothing more than a sex object to be used to stir up the lust of depraved men. A former president who was known for his escapades in the White House. If you don't know who I'm talking about, his wife is considered a prime candidate in 2016 for president. His wife, when he was president, went all over the country screaming for equal rights for women. But some papers that recently came to light showed that while she was out screaming for equality for women, behind the scenes, she was doing everything humanly possible to absolutely destroy any woman that accused her husband of rape or any kind of an affair. Talk about hypocrites. Talk about two-faced. The feminazis want you to be what they want you to be. They don't care if you want to appear in Playboy. They don't care if you model for a hustler. But don't you dare try to be a stay-at-home mom. Don't you dare try to be a Christian role model. That's not acceptable. Certainly, and I would be a liar if I didn't say this, the physical appearance does play a major role. But that's simply one of the benefits of marriage. That's not a successful marriage. She was designed by God to be a joy, but oh, so much more. She was designed by God to walk along beside her husband and to be his companion. Not 6 feet behind him for fear that she might be seen with him. She was designed by God to help carry the load as a family. Truly, she is a woman by God's design. Men, we forget this to our own peril. I love the internet. I can look up things that I remember reading 30 years ago, but boy, I don't know where it was. Get on the internet, boom, right there it was. Listen to this. Some of you have heard it. The woman came from a man's rib, not from his feet to be walked on, not from his head to be superior, but from the side to be his equal, from under his arm to be protected, and from next to his heart to be loved. Men, your spouse was designed by God. Too many, many men and women go into marriage thinking it's all about me. What's in it for me? What can she do for me? What can he do for me? Too few marriages or too few people enter marriage thinking about what can I do to make this lady that God designed for me more faithful and more dedicated in her service for God. Many marriages have been ruined because of me. Please understand, I'm not talking about me coming between a husband and wife. After this morning, I really have to watch because, you know, you guys are sharper than I thought. And many marriages have been ruined because of me. It's not about me. When I enter marriage, it's not about me. It's about us working together, loving each other, encouraging each other, challenging each other, pushing each other, so that together we can serve God far more effectively than we can separately. I've said it before many, many times. I look back at my life and I look at all the things that God has done with me, to me, and through me over the years. I can truthfully say, were it not for my wife, I wouldn't be half the man that I am today. God designed the woman to be loved and cherished. Go back to Ephesians 5, where it talks about the husband is to love and cherish her. Someone said once, you know, that's nice, but Paul never met my wife when he wrote that. Well, you know, I bet Paul never met you either. If Christ had worried only about himself on the cross, instead of his bride, he would have never died on the cross. He loved the church and gave himself for it. He suffered the agony of the cross for it. He endured the beatings for it. He endured the ridicule for it. If Christ had put his own pain and his own troubles ahead of the church, he would have come down from the cross and walked away and said, "Too bad for you all." Bible tells us in Hebrews that he endured the cross. Why? He loved the church and gave himself for it. He loved his church more than life itself. He loved his church more than all the suffering and all the agony that he had to endure. But his own personal agony was nothing, because he was giving himself for his church. I wish we saw more couples committed to that same thing today. Women, you were created and designed by God's own designer. You ladies are special. God designed you to be special. And when we put aside God's word and God's plan, we sin and we will pay the consequences. Perhaps if we recognized, and I put here all ladies, I don't think that I should mistreat anyone. I still believe that we should treat all ladies with respect. But if we recognize ladies as being equal in the sight of God and thought less about pleasing ourselves, our churches would be much more alive, much more vibrant. Perhaps God would even save more souls. I can only imagine what God would do if all of us put Him first. Now, if you're lost, even lost people can have a pretty good marriage sometimes. I know some lost people that actually get along better than many saved people I know. But I'm a firm believer that you can never be all that God intended you to be unless you accept I am God's personal design. That makes me special. I'm a lady. Nothing to be ashamed of. Never hold your head down and say, I'm a lady. But instead, I'm a lady by God's design. God designed me, and I'm going to use everything He designed to honor Him. Let's pray. Father, we come. And Lord, we know that we live in an age where just being a woman is frowned upon. And yet, Lord, according to your word, there is nothing any higher than a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. All the wealth in all the world is but a drop in a bucket compared to a woman after God's own design. I pray, Lord, that this message will be used to encourage ladies, first and foremost, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And when they enter marriage, may they enter it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That we may we never be ashamed of what you've made us. And then for those that are lost,